Our scripture lesson this morning is found in Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. Listen now to God's word. Let us all read it together in unison aloud. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds to the Word of God. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who may be feeling the tug of your Spirit to say yes to the sacrament of Christian baptism. If there's someone here who has genuine faith in Jesus but have never put on Christ through baptism, I pray that they will step out and come forward this morning, that they'll not be afraid. But in obedience to your commandment, they will follow you. Now, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful gift. Thank you for the washing of the water of baptism in our lives. And as we remember this gift this morning, come, Holy Spirit, come and make it new and fresh and alive in us. Come and touch us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me just say once again that we are talking about baptism this morning. And if you are an individual who's never been baptized, then you need to be obedient to Christ and yield yourself to the will of God for your life and be baptized today. This is not the normal way, the usual way that United Methodists do baptism. In the scriptures, we see many cases of people being baptized almost instantly after they make a decision to follow Christ. There are other times in the history of the church where there's been a lengthy period of preparation for baptism, when people have had to go through classes, through a process of confirmation, and then be deemed ready by others for the sacrament of baptism. But it's not uncommon for people to say, I've decided to follow Jesus. Please, I want to be baptized. And for that to happen. And after praying over this for a long, long time and being troubled that we don't give opportunity for this, which is another way, it's not a wrong or a right way, but another way for people to experience God's grace in a kind of an immediate fashion, I decided this was the Sunday. The Spirit moved me and I said yes. And there's been no plan for anyone to come forward today. Yet four persons in the first service came and were baptized, which was such a blessing, wasn't it, Andrew? Many, many more came and touched the water, and it was so sweet and wonderful to see them touch their face with the water and some touching their heads with the water and remembering their baptism. Jesus commanded his followers to make disciples of all the nations, to teach them what it meant to follow him, and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. So baptism is something God expects you to do. It's a commandment of God. It doesn't save you. We read in Galatians just a few moments ago together that it's our faith in Jesus that puts us in a right relationship with God. We are saved by faith through grace. It is not of yourself. It's not the result of any kind of work that we might do, including baptism. It is a gift of God's grace in response to our faith, our belief in Him. And yet baptism is a sign, it's a symbol, a sacrament of that change that God has done in your heart. And many people experience a powerful move of the Spirit upon their lives when they're baptized. They have tangible goosebumps or a feeling of cleansing, of newness that comes to the inside of their body. They seem to be set free from burdens and anxieties and worldly cares and the guilt of their sin. This is a common experience that many have from baptism. And some get very joyful and they shout and they sing and clap their hands and give praise to God. Again, if the Spirit is moving in your heart this morning, then I say yes, yield to the Holy Spirit. Right, Andrew? Always and in every situation. But I want to move beyond the obedience of baptism to what baptism means for us as the body of Christ. And there is a personal application to all of this as well. So I want you to take a look at these with me over these next few moments, and then we'll have a chance to come forward and to remember our baptism or to receive baptism for the first time. The first thing I want you to notice is that baptism tames us. How many know this scene and what movie that comes from? Raise your hand up real high. Yeah, several of you. This is one of my favorite all-time films. I love Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It's set in the Deep South in the 1930s. It's about these three convicts who are members of a chain gang that escape. And they have this inkling, this notion that there is some buried loot in a home or near this home that is about to be flooded as they open up this land into a new reservoir. So it's urgent that they get there as quickly as possible. And their mishaps, their escapades are hilarious. But there are many moving moments in this film, and one of them is when Delmar, that's this guy here, comes across with his other two comrades, comes across this party of people, these church folk that are singing a song that Mike Tevis is going to sing for us in just a few minutes, on their way down to this river in Mississippi to be baptized. And they're all in their white robes. The women also have their heads covered. And they're singing, going down to the river to pray. It's such a powerful, moving experience to imagine that in times past. But Delmar is so moved by this that he's just beside himself. And he wanders down into the water. He's fighting the current as quickly as he can. And he goes to the head of the line. Wants the preacher to baptize him. And this is right after he has come up out of the water and he's headed back over to the bank where the other two guys are standing. I think it's Ulysses and Pete. And he says this, "Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher's done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's the straight and narrow from here on out, and heaven's everlasting is my reward." Well, one of the guys, Pete, he curses under his breath, and it's like, Delmer's been saved. And then Delmar says this to his wayward friends, "Come on in, boys, the water is fine." And Pete, who was obviously skeptical moments before, just takes off for the water. And it goes to the next scene. Well, every time someone is baptized in this church, that's the invitation from the Holy Spirit. That's someone being obedient to the promptings of God in their lives, to this invitation. Come on in, the water is fine. Baptism is an invitation to salvation. Baptism is an invitation to a fresh start. Baptism is an invitation to new life and to renewal. It's an invitation to remember that we are tamed in baptism. Now, what do I mean by tamed? Well, John the Baptist was the first baptizer. He was the one who prepared the way for the Messiah with his preaching. And there were apparently hundreds, if not thousands, of persons who submitted or yielded themselves to this baptism for the remission of their sins. He preached a message of repentance. He called people to turn away from their sinfulness and turn unto God and the Messiah who was coming after him. We know from the Gospels that Jesus himself submitted to baptism. He had no sin to confess. But he thoroughly identified with the purposes of the Father, who said, as the Spirit descended in the form of a dove, "This is my well-loved Son. Listen to him." Listen to him. So in baptism, we are tamed. We give up the wild, selfish preoccupation with our own agendas, with our sin. And we turn ourselves toward Jesus through repentance and begin obeying him. A second thing that baptism does is that it claims us. It tells us who we belong to. In taming us, it tells us who we once were. But baptism also tells us who we belong to. It was recently reported just a few weeks ago that the leading cause of death now for persons under 50 years of age in this country is drug overdose. Just let that sink in for a moment. The opioid addiction epidemic, if you will, is sweeping through this country. It is ravaging people's lives. It's destroying marriages and families and children. And it is taking hundreds of people's lives prematurely every single day. Number one cause of death for people 50 years of age and under. And it has become so bad that in Middletown, Ohio, the police have announced a change in policy. Their EMS, their police force, will no longer respond to an address where two times previously a person has been treated for a drug overdose. Three strikes, you're out. You die. One of the police officers said, "We are sick and tired of people not caring about their kids enough to allow this kind of thing to happen." And what triggered this latest change in policy, which Hamilton County, Ohio, has also adopted, is that there was a 5-year-old kid that wandered barefoot 2 blocks to some relative's house and told them that mom and dad were dead. They had stopped breathing because they had overdosed on heroin. Now, I'm questioning where our country is headed if we fail to adequately address this crisis. Are we going to decide as a country that some people are expendable? That somebody who is addicted, hopelessly lost and controlled by either prescription painkillers or heroin or worse, are we going to decide as a country that those lives are throwaway? That they have no worth or value, that they're not worth saving? If they can't help themselves, then too bad. Three strikes, you're out. Aren't you glad God doesn't view you that way? That God gives you more than 1, 2, 3, 4, a dozen, 100, 1,000, whatever chances. Aren't you glad that in the kingdom of God there are no such rules? Because God loves every soul infinitely. As Paul says to the Galatians here in chapter 3, he says here, all of the artificial categories that we put people in, which are based on religion and gender and ethnicity and social status, and we could go on and on, all those things are meaningless in Christ. You are all children of God, he says. You are all baptized into Christ. You have put on new clothes, the new garments of Christ. So there's no room in the kingdom of God, at least. I don't know what we'll do as a country, but in the kingdom of God, we are all welcome. Because baptism claims us. It sets us apart. While this was going on in Middletown, Ohio, at the very same time, Officer Mitch Lair, who is a member of this church, serves in the Georgetown Police Department, was presented with two life-saving awards for his efforts in performing CPR on May 2nd and May 4th on two different persons who were found unresponsive due to drug overdoses here in Georgetown, Kentucky. Mitch gave them CPR until the EMS arrived and saved their lives. That is a much better parable for the church, isn't it? For all of our relationships with people, no matter how desperate or hopeless their lives may be. So baptism claims us. It marks us out as belonging to God because every person matters. Baptism is a recognition that you have left behind the kingdom of darkness and you now live in the kingdom of light. Now we'll talk more about the responsibility with that in just a couple of minutes. The third thing baptism does is that it names us. It tells us who we are. When we call out a child's name or an adult's name, we don't mention it. It's in our tradition. It goes way, way back early to the Christian church. We don't mention a person's family name when they're baptized, do we? We baptize them by their first and middle name because they now have a new name. And that new family name is Christian. They are a follower of Christ. And so baptism names us. But that name Christian is a hard one to live up to. Wouldn't you agree? Not an easy thing in our culture today to behave Christianly, to put on Jesus, to mirror, to reflect the glory and the love and the light of Jesus in our culture. It's very hard to live up to the name Christian. Howard Olds tells the story of getting his doctorate degree. Now, Howard's with the Lord now, died of cancer prematurely in his 60s just a few years ago. But he's a United Methodist pastor in the Kentucky Conference. And it's in Owen County where he grew up. And that's where his daddy was on the farm. And, of course, he was so proud of his degree. But his father said to him, who was a farmer, he said, "I always thought those little initials after people's names were kind of like a tail on a pig. They are kind of cute to look at, but they don't necessarily make any more hog." And Howard says, so it is. We look for our identity, and often it's in degrees and achievements and success or whatever, when our identity is to be found in Christ. But it's not an easy one to live up to. But that's what our name gives us, what our baptism gives us. It gives us this name. Baptism also aims us. It's the fourth thing I want you to remember this morning. The late Fred Craddock talks about pastoring a little church that was near Knoxville, Tennessee in Anderson County. Fred, who passed away in 2015, was another one of my heroes of the faith. He was a great preacher, wonderful storyteller. And he was just in his early 20s and was assigned this little white country church, said it was a group of loving Christians, great family, very welcoming. But it was in a community that was growing, that was changing because of the influx of workers for the Atomic Energy Research Facility at Oak Ridge. And they were living in, you know, makeshift shanties and little trailers and just whatever they could find. And this little farming community with the white church at the center was changing. There were a lot of outsiders moving in. And some of them were within walking distance of the church. Now, this is in the 1940s. Well, Fred noticed that these people were not coming to the church. And he was troubled by this, so he called a meeting of the church board. And he brought this up to the leaders of this little church. He says, "We've got all these people that live out here in our community that surround us, but none of them are coming to our church." He said, What's going on here? He said, "We need to be reaching out to these people." And he said, the chairman of the church board said, "I don't think so, Pastor. I don't think they'll fit in here." And Craddock protested. He said, "But they need the gospel." He said, "It's obvious these people, their families, their kids, they need the church." And he said, "No, I don't think so, preacher. They're not going to fit in here." And the next Sunday night, the board met again. And they passed this resolution. Members will be admitted to this church only from families who own property in Anderson County. You know, that's just like too ridiculous to be believed, isn't it? Years later, Craddock was with his wife in that part of Tennessee, and they decided to drive over to where this church was, where he started out preaching as a young man. And he found it. And the parking lot was full. But it was not because it was still a church. It was a barbecue joint and a tavern. And Craddock said, I turned to my wife and I said to her, it's a good thing it's not a church anymore. He said, these folks who have filled it up today would not be comfortable in the way it was when I was there. They wouldn't be welcome. And so it is. We forget that the church, as William Temple said, is the only society, it's the only institution, organization, if you will, that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. Think about that. We are not here for ourselves, primarily. We are here for those who've yet to come in, for the outsiders. That's why we exist. And baptism aims us from an inward perspective where our needs and our desires and our wants and our wishes are first, to one that sees the world as a mission field. I mean, Jesus told the disciples to go and make more disciples and to teach them the things that I've taught you. And he said, and while you're at it, he said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost was all about reaching out, of going forward, of bringing into the kingdom of God those that were outside of the kingdom. We exist as a church for people who live in Georgetown and Scott County and beyond. People that have yet to find what we all have here as members of Christ's body and of God's family. Would you agree? I hope you agree, because if you don't, then you need to find another set of pastors. Because we both have bought into this a long time ago. We believe this. We understand this. And you ought to understand it too. That when you see an outsider, when you see a newcomer walk through those doors, that ought to raise like an alarm. A bell ought to go off inside of you. Oh, it's another prospect. Someone else that we can share the good news with. Because your baptism has aimed you outside of yourself. And what you want and what you need. We shout amen when someone goes under the water, right? We clap our hands when a child has received the sacrament of baptism in this congregation, been marked out for God, been given a new name at the beginning of his or her life. We get happy about that. We need to exude the uncontrollable joy of a Delmar who said, come on in, boys, the water is fine. I mean, that's the gift and that's the wonder of our baptism. Now, as Mike comes to sing, I'm going to lead you in a prayer and again just give you an invitation. There is certainly probably an unbaptized person in this congregation, given how many are in worship today. So now is your opportunity for you to be bold and courageous, not be afraid, and step out and come to the front and publicly profess your faith in Jesus Christ and receive the sacrament of baptism. If you want to be dunked, as the kids say, we've got it ready for you. And I've been told the water is warm. Okay? The water is fine. If you'd rather be baptized by pouring or sprinkling as it is, we'll just take a handful of water and we'll just pour that over your head and baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you want to remember your baptism this morning, then what I encourage you to do is just come down and just wet your hands in this water. You may want to take it and remember your baptism and just rub it on your face and put it on your hair. But just give thanks to God for the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit work in your life for your baptism. I hope that many of you will come. And as you come, there's some cards here on the kneeling rail. And this is a daily remembrance of my baptism. It's a prayer that you can put on the mirror in the bathroom and read every single morning before you get in the bathtub or take a shower. You might want to take an extra one to a friend as well. And then finally, Andrew and I will be available on either side of the altar to anoint anyone that wants to be with oil and to bless you and to pray for you. You got it? All right, you got it? Got it. All right, let's listen now as Mike sings.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way and who will wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sister, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sister, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who will wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brother, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brother, let's go down, down to the river to pray. As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who will wear the righteous crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinner, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinner, let's go down, down to the river to pray. Oh, sinner, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinner, let's go down, down to the river to pray.